At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson with the Commonwealth Policy Center. Sports gambling, commercialized sports gambling, is a hot issue in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. As the legislature's in session, there is a move to legalize commercialized sports gambling. Is it another legitimate source of revenue for the Commonwealth? Is it going to help Kentucky move ahead? Joining me on the program to help answer these questions is Les Berno of Stop Predatory Gambling to talk further about this topic. Les, welcome to the program.
And thank you for having me.
Hey, this is a hot issue. It's a difficult issue for Kentuckians to discuss. As you know, last year, the legislature legalized HHR, which stands for Historical Horse Racing. Kentucky is the horse capital of the world. Gambling, unfortunately, has been part of our culture for a long time. So we're talking about something that already is happening. In some sense, we're talking about horses that have been bet on for years, the home of the Kentucky Derby, just 45 minutes or so from where we're recording this program. And for many people, I give that context just to for us to think through this proposal to legalize commercialized sports gambling. So help us think through that. I know I just threw that out there at you, didn't I?
Yeah, I know. Well, I think that's a critical question for anyone watching or listening at home, because on the surface, you're thinking, well, horse racing and sports gambling, what's the difference between all these things? And there's a major difference. So let me first start with horse racing. So horse racing, to be very specific for a second, it's called paramutual wagering. So when people place a bet on horse racing, if other people come in later to that and bet their money a little bit later, the odds adjust. You know, and if you're the person at the horse track, they make money, but they don't have it's a less risky operation for them. They kind of know how much money they're going to end up with when the race is over. And you as a bettor, it's happening. The races happen every 20, 25 minutes. They're not happening around the clock. It's a very different type of experience with paramutual racing and horse racing. So horse racing is completely different. If we were talking about horse racing, Stop Predatory Gambling primarily focuses on, you know, casinos, predatory state lotteries, and now online casinos. Horse racing is a different type of gambling, and it's a very minor part of society. I know it's an important part of your culture here in Kentucky, but it's not a big part of it. But sports, commercialized sports gambling, there's a house involved, which means you're going to lose no matter what. You know, so that is a huge difference. It's a rigged financial exchange against you.
And the reason I wanted to put that out there, I am not a defender of gambling. In fact, Commonwealth Policy Center believes that gambling in any of its forms approved by the state is not good public policy. It's just that we need to start out with that as a point of context to know where Kentucky's been. I think we've been maybe numbed a little bit to think that some gambling's okay and acceptable, and we've seen it grow in Kentucky. It's not just horses anymore, but we got the lottery back in the late 1980s. We have, as I mentioned, HHR came in last year, and now we're talking sports, commercialized sports gambling, and you were very made it a point before we got on the program to call it, that we should call it commercialized sports gambling.
So what people need to understand, what makes commercialized gambling different, whether it's a state lottery, casinos, and now potentially online gambling in the form of sports gambling, what makes that different than any other business in society, including other vices like tobacco and alcohol, is it's a big con, okay? So if you go order a slice of pizza, you go order a glass of sweet tea, you go see a movie, you go see a sporting event, that's what you receive in return, okay? When you participate in a commercialized gambling action, like, it's a financial exchange, but that financial exchange is literally rigged against you. So it's a mathematical certainty that the longer you participate in it, and the more you participate in it, you're going to end up losing all your money. So it's a rigged thing. It's a big con. The whole thing, whether it's the state lottery, the casinos, it's a form of consumer financial fraud, like price gouging and false advertising. And that's why it's illegal to have commercialized gambling, whether it's sports, whether it's casinos or your own lottery. All that's illegal unless you partner with state government, because it's a form of consumer fraud. It's a financial fraud. And so the idea that if you and I have a friendly wager, we're playing golf, we go bowling, we have a March Madness bracket, like no one's profiting on that. So that's social gambling. We're talking about predatory gambling is when you run gambling as a business for profit.
That's a really important distinction to talk about social gambling, which happens all across the country
during the Friday night poker game.
The Super Bowl's coming up soon.
Yeah, Super Bowl office pools. We're not talking about that.
March Madness, yeah. University of Kentucky basketball is just down the road from here. Yeah. That is a big part of the culture, if you will. Yeah. But it changes, it morphs when the state partners with the gambling industry.
Yeah. I mean, just to give you an example, a handful of states now have embraced commercialized sports gaming. Let's take one of them, Maryland. The University of Maryland has partnered with a sports book. They have an official sports book. A points bet is the official sports book now for the University of Maryland. So do the people of Kentucky want the University of Kentucky have an official sports book with DraftKings? Should the University of Louisville's official sports book be Caesars Casino? Is that what you want your kids going to school with? The idea that college sports is all about the gambling? What makes us so passionate, whether you're in Kentucky or any other state, about sports is, the competition of it all. And now you're talking about gambling is going to be front and center. It goes completely against what sports is all about.
Les, this was not an issue until 2018 when the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a federal law that made it illegal to bet on sports. So we've only had it for less than 4 years.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing. The Supreme Court ruling didn't endorse sports gambling. It was actually driven by the state of New Jersey, which is one of the biggest predatory gambling states in the country. And the casino interests there wanted commercialized sports gambling. So they, in partnership with their governor at the time, it was Chris Christie, they brought a lawsuit saying, oh, we're being denied under the 10th Amendment. The federal government's commandeering the states, by saying we can't have sports gambling, where Nevada can have it and we can't. And so on, very peculiar, the Supreme Court, by every measure, had no interest in supporting sports gambling. Just the way that the federal law was written that prohibited sports gambling, they carved out a couple of states, and Congress could act right now and turn it all back. They could rewrite this law and make commercialized sports gambling illegal. They just couldn't carve out a handful of states the way they did it. I think that's an important distinction to make. And the other part of it, there's no grassroots movement for this. Like, people are pounding the table saying, I want a commercialized sports book in my living room. No one's demanding that. This is being driven by billion-dollar gambling corporations in partnership with greedy public officials and huge media companies who stand to make millions of dollars in advertising, pushing this into people's homes, including professional sports.
So pushing into people's homes, it's in our homes. If you watch any sporting event, you're going to see an ad for DraftKings or FanDuel or these other things that really weren't around a couple years ago, do you? So in three short years, if I could add this, after the Supreme Court struck down the federal ban that would restrict states from legalizing commercialized sports betting, is that the correct way to put it? Am I saying that accurately? The Supreme Court did strike down?
They struck down PASPA. This is the way the federal law, this thing was unconstitutional as written.
Okay. So in those roughly three years, it is now a $26 billion industry, billion with a B. You've got these major gambling outlets that are advertising to come online, place your bets. In fact, they're giving away free bets. Place one bet and we'll give you up to $100 in free bets or something like that.
It's all part of the con. Like, that's what I was saying about, this is all a con this commercialized gambling is a form of financial fraud. So these risk-free bets, these advertisements you see at any sporting event is to get you to sign up. But you don't get, they say $1,000 worth of a risk-free bet. Like, you don't get $1,000. Like, you get $1,000 of credits, which you have to match with your own money. And you can't take that money out. You know, like, so the whole thing is just to get you to sign up. We're exploiting people blatantly in partnership with state government just to rip them off. And you, all the non-gamblers out there, like, you pay for this racket. Like, you know, whether it's the state lottery or the brick and mortar casinos or the electronic gambling machines you now have at the racetracks or now potentially sports, like, you pay for this even if you don't play. You're paying higher taxes for less services.
A little background into the history against gambling on professional sports. You got to go back to the 1919 World Series. That's when the Chicago Black Sox threw the game. There were 8 players found guilty of fixing the game. And at that time, there was no commissioner of baseball. But the owners were afraid that the sport would collapse. Because part of athletic competition is that it is fair and honest, that people are going to bring their best, that there's no cheating involved. And if they don't, it's like, what, watching professional sports, right? We know it's fixed. Who wants to watch that? I guess there are some people. But when you go to a ball game, a baseball game, you expect it to be fair and honest. That didn't happen. The owners of professional baseball were concerned enough about cheating in the game and about players fixing games that they brought in a commissioner, and they regulated it stringently. In fact, in every lesson, every Major League Baseball clubhouse, there's a sign with Major League Rule 21D. It's prominently posted in every Major League clubhouse. It says, it deals with gambling, and it says this, that any player, umpire, or employee of a team or the league who bets on a game that they're not involved in will be banned from Major League Baseball for 1 year. If they are involved in the game, the ban is for life. At the same time, we have ads now that have come into our ballparks, baseball parks, pro football fields, that are advertising for DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, these other things as well. There's a contradiction there. There's a tension there. But again, the tension and this the reason why there's such stringent bans on betting in sports goes back to a World Series that was thrown in 1919. We've lost our collective memory of that. We've forgotten how serious it was. And it was just in my lifetime, I was, I think in my late teens, early 20s, when Pete Rose was banned from baseball because he was gambling on games. And now here we are where we're looking at a wholesale legalization of commercialized sports betting. One other point is that technology, and you were alluding to this, technology has made it easier to bet and to expand betting, the availability to bet on games. There is a term called in-game betting. I want to dive into some of the downside or the possibility for downside in sports gambling. It's called in-game betting.
It's all downside. I mean, it's a huge. I mean. The whole concept of this, whether it's the traditional sports gambling or now what they're calling in-play wagering, like, there's no upside to any of this. The only people that make money in this are the people that run the gambling operation. Okay, everyone else loses.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. So when I say the possible downside, here's the context of something called in-game betting. There's an article in The Atlantic last fall, very good article, and the headline is this: "Sports gambling is a disaster waiting to happen. Betting on Tom Brady's next completion may sound like harmless fun, but it's not." So that's the article in The Atlantic, and this is what they say. Bets can be made in real time. There's something called in-game betting. So, for example, if the Cardinals fall behind 5-1, for example, you can place a new bet that they'll make a comeback. This seems like just the start. The prospect that you will be able to bet on individual actions in a game, for example, will this player strike out during this at-bat? Will this kicker miss the extra point? Is inevitable. It's catnip for gamblers. The possibilities for malfeasance, the near impossibility of ever knowing for sure what's legit and what isn't, whether that player tried to miss his shot or just missed it, are limitless. So we're not just talking betting on a game anymore. We're talking about certain actions within a game, which would be much more difficult to track if there was fraud in that game. For example, if you see... And, you know, one of the things that the pro-commercialized sports gambling lobby says is, look, we will. There's IT, for example, or what is the term? Not IT. Anyways, there's technology. I just had a brain freeze there. There's technology that can be used that would determine if there's some kind of fraud in gambling on a game. If they saw all kinds of an inordinate number of bets placed on one team over another, that would trigger some things that could be done, stopgaps that could be imposed to look into that. But when it comes to individual actions in a game, that's a whole different level and would be much more difficult to police. So we're talking here in Kentucky about the legislature legalizing betting on any games. I was over in the Capitol actually a couple days this week, and I heard legislators talking about, let's not let the money go over the river. Let's keep the money here. And how do you address some of those arguments, Les? That's something where we do know Kentuckians are gambling. There is no legalized, commercialized sports gambling. How do you respond to that? The money's going, they're gambling elsewhere. The state of Kentucky is not able to recoup any of that money.
So that argument, we call it the going out of state public, the going out to state to gamble public relations narrative, is driven by gambling lobbyists and for these national gambling companies. So the people pushing this, like, these are national gambling companies. So the national gambling companies who are paying the lobbyists here in Kentucky to say that messaging and share that with legislators, they're in your neighboring states. So these companies, they don't have any interest in Kentucky coffers. They're trying to make as much money and expand the market as possible. So they're trying to make this, bring the idea that the people of Kentucky are going over the river. This isn't about going over the river. This is going over the border. This is about bringing it into your living room, into your kid's bedroom, into a dorm room, into your office, because they're talking about online gambling. This is going to be in every smartphone, every computer in the state. And the end game here isn't sports gambling. Like, the sports gambling is not where these gambling companies make their money. They make their money in online casino gambling. And what they want, sports gambling is a lure, kind of like the worm at the end of the hook to sucker you in to get you to sign up. And then they turn around and market to you online casino gambling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's where the 80% of the money of the profits these gambling companies make is coming from, online casino gambling. So that's what you're opening up.
Les, that's a really good point. We're going to take a quick break. If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Commonwealth Matters. Richard Nelson here with Les Bernal. Take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky. Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center, here with Les Bernal of Stop Predatory Gambling, and we are talking the legalization of commercialized sports betting in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Les, there is momentum in the state legislature to create some kind of regulatory structure to legalize this commercialized sports betting.
When we say momentum, and Twitter, like, when they say momentum, like, there is no grassroots movement for this. This is being driven by billion-dollar gambling interests, yeah, and billion-dollar sports team owners and big, huge media companies who stand to make billions of dollars on the backs of Kentucky citizens. Like, so momentum's being, it's artificially driven by money for that small amount of people going to privilege from this. And you, the everyday person in Kentucky, you're gonna end up holding the stick on this.
And that's an important point, because we talked about this off air, that it has a feeling of momentum, right? You see the billboards, you see the ads on TV, at some of our sporting venues, you're seeing the ads. So there's this feeling of momentum, and yet the grassroots really aren't clamoring for it, are they?
They don't want it at all. This 2/3 of the public doesn't gamble at all. Like, so this is being driven to benefit a very few, privileged few, at the expense of everybody else. It's a big con. You know, it's one of the biggest ripoffs in America today. Over the next 8 years in our country, the American people are going to lose more than $1 trillion, $1 trillion of personal wealth to commercialized gambling. And Kentucky citizens are contributing a significant portion of that already. So we're paying all this money in public subsidies to help people get ahead with, you know, all these stimulus bills. Like, we just need to help people get ahead. You know, it helps people to save money instead of losing it on state-sanctioned forms of gambling.
So, Les, I want you to restate, just so we can hear this again, how much are Americans projected to lose within the next 10 years?
8 years. Right now, they're losing more than $120 billion a year of personal wealth to government-sanctioned gambling, including lotteries, brick-and-mortar casinos, and online casinos. With the introduction of these more extreme forms of gambling, those losses of personal wealth are going to go even higher. So for all you non-gamblers out there, you know, 2/3 of the public doesn't do this. Like, why do you think we have such deep poverty today? A major reason why is because instead of encouraging people to save money, 50% of the country, you know, doesn't have $400 in the bank. Okay, that's you know, all this public subsidies we're spending on this, like healthcare subsidies, housing subsidies, food stamps. Like, if we encourage people to save and build assets, we'd have a bigger middle class. Instead, we are attacking the middle class. And this is conservatives and liberals who are doing this by pushing these extreme forms of gambling. It's a ripoff. And the most important thing, which you didn't talk about yet, and emphasize how this is a big con, is the most of the public officials, the gambling company executives, the slot machine makers, all these folks that push gambling, they stand up and say, we want to bring it into Kentucky. They don't gamble themselves, okay? And that shows you, this is the only product or service in the country where the people that own it and promote it don't use it because it's a ripoff. So your governor, all these other folks, they have, you know, investments. They have 529 funds, college funds for their kids. They have a housing fund. They have emergency funds. Half your state doesn't have any of those assets. And they're the ones we're pushing $30 scratch tickets to, electronic gambling machines, and now these new forms of online gambling. When Jesus says, hey, love your neighbor like I love you, this is the complete opposite of that message.
So, Les, Kentucky is in the bottom five or so of states when it comes to highest levels of poverty, or top, I should say. We're in the top in the country when it comes to poverty levels. You look at what East Kentucky, where the coal mines are shutting down, West Kentucky, my old stomping grounds, you're seeing populations decrease, businesses leave, and you see high rates of poverty there. Will this expansion, or possible expansion of commercialized gambling, increase poverty?
It's unquestionably, like, that's what this is a business about, extracting wealth out of low income people and putting it into the hands of very rich people. Okay, right now, just in preparation for my trip here to Kentucky, like, I took on you today in Kentucky. The Kentucky Lottery sells a $30 scratch ticket across the state in the poorest communities, the poorest neighborhoods of this state. And it's a $30 scratch ticket, and it says your fastest way to $3 million. Okay, it's not saving money. It's not getting, you know, educated. It's not building a nest egg. It's going out and buying $30 scratch ticket, which you probably had to work like 4 hours to get that $30 in the first place. And now they want you to lose that money on a rigged game, you know, courtesy of Republican and Democratic legislators. It's outrageous, and you as a citizen need to be appalled by this.
And you could say that the state lottery is selling hope. They're preying on the hopes of people, because we do know that those who are playing the lottery are in the lowest socioeconomic class in Kentucky.
But it's not hope. They're selling false hope. It's a lie. It's not real hope. Like, there's lots of things in life that give us genuine hope. The lottery, these slot machine parlors at your racetracks, now online gambling, these are a con. Like, these are designed to get you to lose money. But what drew me into this cause, this is what my life's work is, you know, 15 years ago, the New York Times did a cover page story on slot machines, the kind of machines that are at your racetracks today. And as part of that story, the reporter went out and interviewed all the people who work at the slot machine makers. And he went up to each employee and he asked them, do you gamble? You know, do you play these machines that you make? And to a person, none of them played the machines. And then he went up to one final slot machine maker and he said, do you play these machines? And the guy goes, no, slots are for losers. That's what the people that sell the gambling to you, that's what they think of the people who use commercialized gambling. And this isn't like Bank of America doing this. This is a government program being pushed by Republicans and Democrats who think their constituents are losers.
Yeah, yeah. So we know a product should be called into question when the makers of that product aren't even willing to.
It's a con. It's a lie. It's price gouging. False. It's a lie. It's a kind of financial fraud.
I'm gonna push against it. I've had conversations with people who gamble in various forms. I know people who are involved with sports gambling, and they'll say, "Well, Richard, this is my form of entertainment. Why should this bother you? It's harmless. It's a form of, and I don't want to go into the harmless part. We already know that certain numbers of people will develop an addiction or become a compulsive gambler. But how do you respond to the idea that it's harmless entertainment for many people, for that it's entertainment, not harmless, that it's just entertainment? Sorry.
So if people who choose to gamble, if they want to be reckless with their money, you can be reckless with their money, but do it privately. Like, this is a government program. Commercialized gambling is the public voice of state government here in Kentucky to almost every citizen. Gambling is what is advertised relentlessly, marketed relentlessly to the people of Kentucky day after day after day, year after year. Like, this is, if you want to do something, have a Friday night poker game or have a friendly wager with the guys at the office or whatever, or in your, you know, wherever you work, like, that's something different. You go ahead. You want to do that? This is a rigged financial exchange and it's not marketed. When half the profits in commercialized gambling comes from people who are addicted to the gambling. The people like who say they're doing it for it, those people are irrelevant to the business model. The business model for commercialized gambling is based on the addicted gambler. 50% of the profits is based on the addict. So if you don't have addicted citizens here in Kentucky, they don't have a business model. So that's why they're selling $30 scratch tickets to your people. That's why they're putting electronic gambling machines at the racetracks, because it's the people playing relentlessly over and over again. People who are addicted, where the profits come from. And that is a government program. So these people do it, you know, entertainment, keep it privately. This should not be, state government should not be opening a casino in everyone's bedroom, in everyone's dorm room, every smartphone, and every home in the state.
The legislate, many people don't care though. Still, it's hard to get people involved with public policy formation. It's difficult sometimes in off-year elections to get people to vote. The loudest voice right now in the legislature, I would argue, is the professional commercial casino lobby, big gambling interest. Okay, what can people do? We've got just a couple minutes here. What can people do to let their voices be heard?
Yeah, you need to work through your any social contacts you have. If you have an email list, if you have if you're on Facebook or these other types of social media. You know, any if you're in a church or program, like you need to tell people, urge them to contact their legislators and say, this is going to hurt the people of Kentucky.
Les Bernal, it's been great to have you here. Look forward to your legislative briefing coming up in just a little bit.